Welcome back to Hour 2 of Sound Space. Zanuck Ziggian, your host and producer here. We are in the spotlight with multi-talented trumpeter and composer Jonathan Bauer, most notably of the Grammy Award-winning New Orleans Jazz Orchestra. Jonathan has a debut album out, Walk, Don't Run. I'll be speaking to the phone-in interview here with Jonathan. He's granted us this great conversation, speaking about his craft and his process, and his new album. We'll be playing a couple tracks off of that. So, let's zoom in on the conversation and see what it's all about.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to the Spotlight, Sound Space, top of Hour 2. We have a special guest in the studio in a phone-in interview, Jonathan Bauer, trumpeter, multi-talented composer. You also lead a project called the Jonathan Bauer Project. You have a new album out, and it isn't only new, but it's your debut album. It's called Walk, Don't Run, and you are calling us from the wonderful land of New Orleans, Louisiana. Welcome, Jonathan, to the Spokane Public Radio airwaves.
Hi, Van. Thank you so much for having me.
When you were born and raised, you were one of our near neighbors. You were born in northern Alberta. What floated your boat as you were growing up there?
I'm from a very specific part of the northernmost region of Alberta called Fort McMurray. There were a lot of people came to Fort McMurray because of an oil boom. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of people from all over Canada and even all over the world from other oil industries in the world that would come to Fort McMurray because there was a lot of work. I can't say for certain, but I'm probably of the earlier generations of people to actually be born and raised in Fort McMurray. The kind of city where you kind of pick the things that you like and yeah. You just get good at them. There's things to do, but the best thing to do is you kind of just pick the hobby that you like, and that city does have a strong standing in people just being good at the things that they're excited about.
Wow. You know what? That's a total education. I can't wait to dig a little bit more into that because I know very little about the area way up, you know, north. So were you getting interested in music then?
To be fair, I grew up on the swim team. I was really excited and getting really good, and I thought my goals in life were that I wanted to be an Olympic swimmer.
Uh-huh.
And when I got into high school, I hated band class. I was really bad at it, mm-hmm. and I didn't like it. My mom had accidentally signed me up for band for my first year of high school, and I was really upset about it, and I told her I didn't want to do it, and she said, well, you're already signed up for it, so you're going to do it. I had a high school band teacher who not only did a very good job of making education fun for me and turning me into a listener of this music, when he saw Brent Lawson, hi Brent, when Brent saw that I was genuinely interested in this art form, he took it upon himself to kind of point me in the direction of some mentors in the city and in surrounding areas that I could really try and learn more about this music from.
Yeah, Jonathan, do you know what I think of people like you who tell stories like that? It was meant to be, Jonathan. You know, these people were like meant to come into your life and to lift you up, to help to create a foundation where we now have this incredible album that I'm looking at in front of me called Walk, Don't Run. Jonathan, I want to jump in and play Walk, Don't Run right now. Can we do that off the new album?
Please.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Do you have anything you want to say about this song before we turn Sound Space listeners on to this?
Yeah, the record as a whole is Walk, Don't Run is about a few things. It's first and foremost about taking your time.
Mm.
It's about learning to be in the moment. It's about learning to take advantage of the things that are around you and the beauty that is around you instead of being so obsessed with where you're getting next. And then most importantly, this record to me has been about continuing on my path of attempting to be as respectful as I can to my predecessors in this music.
Like your mentors, to pay back almost, huh?
Less of a payback and more of a paying dues, you know?
Yeah.
Which I continue to do every day.
You know what? What do you consider the difference? What's the difference for you of that?
There are musicians in my life and mentors in my life that I owe a lot to on a very personal level. Mm-hmm. And I will be paying them back for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But there are also a lot of musicians, I would say the elders and the ancestors of this music, that I've never had a personal relationship with. But I don't like to assume that I'm participating in this art form in a way that is beyond them. I want to participate in this art form in a way in which the ancestors and elders of this music could look at and say, this person is putting in the time and the effort. This person is paying their dues.
Well, let's hear an example of that. And it's Walk, Don't Run, the main track off Jonathan Bauer's new album, Walk, Don't Run. Here we go.
Thank you.
we have Jonathan Bauer. He's a phone-in interview here, trumpeter, multi-talented musician. His new album is Walk, Don't Run. We just heard that title track. Jonathan, one of the things I wanted to come back to a little bit here, and you were talking a little bit about mentors, ancestors, those who have come before you in this world of music, and that would be jazz, of course. Who are your favorite trumpeters out there?
Depending on my mood and the day and the type of music I'm listening to, I can narrow it down to there's always been Louis Armstrong, of course, and Mr. Chet Baker, and Clifford Brown, and then Clifford Brown, Lee Morgan, Kenny Dorham, all my favorite bebop and hard bop musicians. And then today you have Nicholas Payton, Terrence Blanchard, and Christian Scott. There's an endless list of trumpet players that I aspire to participate in this art form with.
Jonathan, you are in an area where the spirits of some of those people are. I have a question to ask you. Have you ever felt that vibration? Have you felt those spirits in the places that you've played down there since you've inhabited that area? It's got to be strong.
The first time I came here, yes, absolutely. I remember I came here about a year before I moved here, and I just remember almost immediately feeling that way and recognizing it and going, oh, okay. So I spent the next year figuring out how to legally live here.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel very blessed that it's not an uncommon thing. I've been very blessed to share the stage in New Orleans with Nicholas Payton on many, many instances, and Christian Scott a couple times, and Leroy Jones, and Kevin Lewis, and just all of my favorite New Orleans musicians. They're here. And they're here all the time, and they're playing all the time.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I feel very spoiled.
It's like a candy store, right? Yeah.
It is, except you can never eat too much candy in this candy store. You never get a stomach ache. You just become closer to the truth.
You know, this is a good place to say who your quintet is on this album, Walk, Don't Run. We've got Alexander Geddes on sax. We've got Ryan Hansler on piano. We've got Alex Deering on upright bass, and we've got Gerald Watkins Jr. on drums. I bring this quintet up as well, not to just honor them and to say who they are, these really rocking musicians you have along with you on this album.
The Hungriest Young Lions, we've been referred to as, is just that the musicians that I've chosen to work with, and I don't even think I chose to work with them. It was a given. They were going to be the people. They just have an insatiable hunger or thirst to play. Alexander Geddes and I, at one point when we both moved to New Orleans, I think at one point we were in either 7 or 9 bands together at the same time that were in all sorts of different genres, and we were just eager, and we wanted to be there. And there was never a night where we had a night off and we just stay home. We're always out. We're always making sure that we're participating in the scene. It's always been that kind of strive to make sure that if there's music being made, we want to be a part of it. You know?
So then it's the music feeds you. The scene feeds you in a way. I'm hearing.
It feeds me both figuratively and literally.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be something in the Vancouver Island water surrounding the island, because very good and capable jazz musicians have come out of the area.
You know, to shout out and say, like, from Vancouver Island, you've got Phil Dwyer and Ingrid and Christine Jensen and Diana Krall, and Brad Turner's from living in the area, and, John Challoner. Like, the list of incredible musicians from that neck of the woods is infinite.
And, it's one of the greatest ideas for a university that actually has a music component to it. I mean, it's a magical, magical place, first off. And it is one of the most magical places I've ever been to, is out Vancouver Island. And that means various places on Vancouver Island, not just Tofino or Nanaimo,
The whole island is beautiful.
Oh, gosh, Jonathan, what a gem. And To just have known that you came from there with some of your musical career, and that's where you purported yourself from, to go to New Orleans. What do you miss about the area? I know you played with the Nanaimo Musicians Association big band while there. What are you missing much most about that scene?
I like to describe Vancouver Island to people as, like, it's great. You can surf in the morning and snowboard at night, but you got to drive through the rainforest to get to the mountain. It's one of the most beautiful geographical locations on the planet. Mm. And for that, your quality of life is just so incredibly high. Mm. Some of my greatest mentors who I continue to be very, very grateful for, that they really pushed me through my formative years, are still on that island. I'm very grateful for the likes of the musicianship of Pat Coleman and Ken Lister and Hans Verhoeven and, you know, Phil Dwyer and Ben Enriquez, Ryan Oliver. The list goes on.
Jeez, wow, it really does. Hey, you know what, Jonathan? This is a good place to play the next song, because I chose Ella for Ella L.
And beautiful. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and do you have anything you'd like to shout out about that song before we play it?
Ella was my grandmother.
Oh,
and,
sweet.
She was very well connected with her faith. The church was very important to my grandmother, and then in turn wrote this song for her. She was one of the most incredible human beings on this planet, and she was compassionate and loving. Aww. And the song is for Ella L.
It's almost like a hymnal.
It definitely stems from my exploration into gospel music that really became part of my music once I moved down to New Orleans.
Well, beautiful. Okay, here we go, Jonathan. We're playing your song, Ella for Ella L.
Thank you.
Jonathan, that's such a beautiful song. I really love it. It just has a little bit of a haunting quality for me, in a way. There's shadows in that song, and I don't know why.
I like that observation. That's making me think right now.
Another quote that is out there about you: you're known for your dark and dynamic sound. Okay, well, that's like Tall, Dark, and Handsome or something like that. And I think it's really wild. Well, you know, what do you say to things like that? I mean, I'm not one to wax poetic about necessarily traits of people and their music, because I really like to feel it out, you know, and let it be what it's going to be. But so translate that for me.
My sound has taken many forms on this this journey to kind of realize my voice. It continues to, and I'm sure it will continue to. If I'm being honest, I in more recent years haven't really worried about it.
Yeah.
Just for me, it's been more about getting my thoughts and my emotions and my message and my voice out to the world.
Yeah, and I think that's really important when it's a musician such as yourself who's done an undergraduate and a graduate degree in music. First off, there's the academic world. There's the world of education. There's this creative voice and surge wanting to, you know, come out. But yet there's so much process that has to happen. And when you get to the master's level with the music degrees, it's so mental. There's a lot of mental clarity that needs to be figured out through all of that academic work around the instrument itself and your path. Like, what chosen path is this going to end up looking like once I get out of all this school, quote unquote? You know what I mean? So you do have a master's in music from the University of New Orleans.
Yeah, I was in New Orleans, and I met some of the teachers over there at the University of New Orleans, and it became clear to me that if as a Canadian citizen, if I wanted to move to New Orleans legally, the quickest and most effective way to do so was on an F1 or student visa.
Yep.
So I signed up to do my master's, and then I was a little naive. And I got there and I found out exactly how much work a master's is.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So,
yeah.
And then I felt a very high level of achievement and accomplishment when I finished those 2 years. Going in, I was just excited to be in New Orleans. And then once I was there, I was like, well, you know, I should probably take this seriously.
Yeah, sure. Get focused, right? Yeah.
Yeah. When I left Vancouver Island and moved to New Orleans, there was this moment of clarity when I saw the students that were on either side of me, where I said, wow, there's a global standard. I didn't realize this. I thought I was good. You know?
Yes, exactly.
I thought I was good. And then I saw what people sounded like from other stretches of life that I didn't know existed. And I said, wow, there's a global standard here that I need to start striving to adhere to.
Yeah, watermark, right? Yeah. Oh my gosh! Well, what a better way to do it than to do it in New Orleans? When you bring up that whole global perspective, I think that does happen when you step out of your country and go to another country as well, along with not only what the history and power that is already rooted in the area that you chose, but on, like you say, on the world scale, it is it's vibrating at a very high level there, and so it allows you sometimes to really, if your timing is right, and if you, like you said, if you're a hungry enough young lion to want to, you know, constantly be, you know, working out, which is what it really is like, you have to have the stamina. You can't burn out. You can't play dumb. In it,
no, you have to create. You have to be very mindful of your emotional and mental well-being as an artist. It's really easy to get burnt out, and it's really difficult to create longevity. It's been a long, long process for me of creating that longevity in my life, where I've become able to emotionally withstand what it means to be a professional, full-time professional musician. I would like to say too that there's I feel very lucky that I happened upon the thought process of moving to New Orleans. I think, as well as that global perspective you're speaking of, I think there's also a certain truth to when I was younger and I was still living in Canada, and this is of nobody's fault but my own. I understood that there was a history to this music, but when I moved to New Orleans, when I moved to the United States, I found out that this music was still culturally relevant. Mm-hmm. That this music still served a purpose, and this music was not this music isn't a time capsule that shows you what the music was like in the 60s or the 50s mm-hmm. or whenever. This is still a culturally relevant music.
Yeah,
it's still a social music, and that culture is very, very prominent in New Orleans. Music is more important here than where I grew up, to the day-to-day culture.
And it's ironic you say that, because your debut album, the songs are all very different. They have different rhythms and sounds, and they have different influences. It's like a beautiful, collage with layers to it of various different influences, but also, different tones that hearken to some type of nostalgia in some way. And it's not going back, but it's taking what you know of the past and giving it a retrospect, is what I'm saying, which is what makes it fresh and new. And I think that's what people probably get from your music when they hear you up there playing and then you take over the stage. That's where it comes out. There's a dimension. It makes the stage bigger than it really is, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And you seem to have that quality. You encompass an understanding, it seems, in a very grassroots way. I think it comes from a sincerity of being, Jonathan, and maybe that's why it's difficult to explain it.
One day somebody took me aside and they said, "Hey man, image is important." They said, you gotta look cool. You gotta come across the right way. And, my partner, she said to me, I was doing an interview and I said, how did I sound? And she said, it's funny. She says, no matter how hard you try, you always just come across so earnest. I think at the end of the day, that's really what's just always been important to me. My music is what it is, and I don't need to talk it up. I don't need to lie about it in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. People out there in the world are either going to like it, it's going to resonate with them, or it's not going to resonate with them. Mm-hmm. And I feel strongly about that in most stretches of my life. The more time I spend trying to be something that I'm not, the less longevity I have, the harder it is to live that life. Mm. So I don't know. I feel very fortunate that my person is that of somebody who just can't be what they're not.
Yeah. You know what? People think it's easy to fake it. It isn't, because it drains things that you don't really see right away. It gets to you and at you in one way or another. And it's kind of like karma. You do have to pay it back in some ways. So, there's a certain deal to that is just us having been born into this existence. You either owe up to it or you don't. And if you're, following the path of a creative, it's really difficult to fake it or hide for very long if you are putting it out there, for others.
I tried. Mm-hmm. I tried, and it's weird to admit that. I was in my practice space and I was trying to write something like some of my favorite contemporary trumpet players and other just composers, and it just sounded lame.
Yeah.
And then I started writing just whatever it was that I actually heard, and that continues to grow and that continues to change. But I try to be really genuine and honest about what it is that I'm hearing.
Oh yeah, it's trusting in the process. Really, it's letting go in the creative process, because the creative process is not something that's just laid out and set in stone. I mean, that's a big open canvas to explore, and you can get really lost or you can get really found.
If you pull up YouTube today and you just search, like, I don't know, you search the word giraffes. I'm sure there'll be some song that has 2 million views that's just god-awful.
Right.
And about giraffes. So I think it's important for artists out there to recognize that your music is meant to be heard, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Oh, it's meant to be shared. I think so,
it's
too.
To be shared. This is a social music. It's not meant just for me.
Yeah.
It's not meant to just be sat in a dark room and listened to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We're speaking with Jonathan Bauer, trumpeter here. He has a new album out. It's his debut album with his quintet. I appreciate you taking the time to share with us. Good luck to you out there, and hope you have some great gigs going on soon here.
Thank you very much, Zan. Thank you so kindly for having me in today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you're ever, the wind blows you this way, you know where to stop in and say hi, so...
I will absolutely hold you to that.
All right. Sounds great. All right, Jonathan. Thanks a lot. Good
night. Thank you, Zan. Take care.
Yep, you too. That was Jonathan Bauer, trumpeter, calling from New Orleans, Louisiana, speaking about his new album, Walk, Don't Run.